You realize that? Nobody else can promise you they'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Oh, yes, sir, Brother Marvin. Help yourself. Amen.
I want God.
Amen.
Thank you for what you've done, what you're doing.
Yes, sir.
I want to tell him you love him. I thank him for saving
me. Amen, brother.
Thank you for touching Junior. I want to tell y'all I appreciate all of your prayers. I'm nervous.
You all right?
I just want to thank God. He's been good to us.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm watching him do something, you know. Like me and Brother Buzz talking today, God doing a miracle.
Yeah.
I'm watching it. It's a miracle for us, you know.
Yes.
But I just want to thank the Lord for what he's doing for Jesus.
Amen.
They're praying for him. They take him off of that. They ain't going to take him off, but they're going to cut it off tonight or in the morning. If he does good for 24 hours, they're going to take that off. And then the Lord's going to remove that. I don't know what you call it, the breathing thing, ventilator. But God's doing the work.
Amen.
And I appreciate your prayers.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's different when it's your babies. Amen. God's able. Amen. All right, the book of Psalm, chapter 26, please. Not going to keep you long. A message that I feel led of God to preach tonight. And this is a psalm of David. Now again, David's not full of pride in this psalm. He's not talking about him, what he's done, but yet God is allowing him to publicly let us know of his integrity in his life. Now, I know David wasn't a perfect man. The Lord made sure he pointed that out for us. Not to belittle David, but to let us know even a man after God's own heart needs to walk with God all the time.
Amen.
Amen. So we all need the Lord. But I want to read just 12 verses tonight. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy love and kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. Now, I'm not trying to pause here long, but preacher, how can I really walk in truth? What David did, for thy love and kindness is before mine eyes. Thinking about what God brought you from. How God has spared your life. How God has blessed you. And how God has answered your prayers. How God has supplied your need. The goodness of God leadeth men to repentance. And even after we get born again, we can't forget about his loving kindness. I realize tonight that I ought to be in hell. I have no doubt where I should be. But I'm not going to hell. But it's not because of me. It's because of what the Lord done for me. And so David's remembering how God brought him through when Saul's trying to kill him, when giants are trying to kill him, when ites are trying to kill him, the Philistines are trying to kill him, all that. He said, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. He said, I see it. Folks, can you just look around and see? It ain't about a feeling, this isn't. It's about what you can see what God's done for you. We're sitting together in heavenly places because we see what God's provided. We see what God's done. All of us came in here with good cars and God give us a good building, good family. We have assurance that God saved us and we're going to heaven. His loving, what he's done for us, what we see, what's standing before our eyes. A lot of times we forget, hey, I don't know if God's blessed me or not. Open your eyes. I don't know if God's been good to me or not. Open your eyes. You don't need a lightning bolt in the sky with a message on it. You don't need handwriting on the wall. We don't have to discern things. We can just look. Man, I look at God's blessings with a wife and children and grandchildren. I look at a congregation of people. I look at all God's provided. Folks, God's provided for me first class. To God be the glory. We can see it. I don't have to look for his good love and kindness. I can see it. Glory. Let's get to verse 4. I have not sat with vain persons. You keep your eyes on what God's done. You won't get hooked up with wrong people. I have not sat with vain persons. Neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. That's what Brother Marvin just did. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations would I bless the Lord. And may the Lord add his blessings. This psalm begins with David saying, Lord, judge me. Lord, examine me. You know, I thought about David. There's a lot of things I could say tonight, but for sake of time, two things God has put in my heart about David that I know you already know, but there's two evidences of David here. There's evidence of his sonship, and then there's also evidence of David's spirituality. Now, preacher, what do you mean? Well, his sonship. He was a man after God's own heart. It was clear that he belonged to God. His life, his testimony, what he stood for, was evidence of his sonship. But then I think about evidence of his spirituality. Folks, we have evidence of salvation. We have a testimony. We have evidence. We can give an answer of the hope that lies within us. But my question is tonight, do we have evidence of spirituality? Now, preacher, what do you mean? Well, two things jumped out on me. This is simple, but the Lord spoke to my heart just right here. How do we know David was a spiritual man? Well, number one, David received righteous rebuke. When Nathan approached him, folks, he didn't get puffed up. He didn't get angry. He didn't leave the church. He didn't blow up. And he had the authority to have that man's head cut off. But his spirituality shone forth even when a sin in his life that hadn't been dealt with is revealed. Folks, let me tell you something. We live in a day where people will not receive righteous rebuke. Folks, open rebuke's better than secret love. Ain't that what the Bible says? And so now nobody wants to be, I'm talking about just in a message, that in a sermon that your name's not called. Right. You know, the preacher's messing with me. He's heard something. You preacher, how you know? I've been sitting in that pew before and I thought the same thing. Yeah. What in the world? Who's told on me? I've been there in my Christian life years gone by, teenager and coming up. I remember those days, get puffed up. You know what that was revealing? I didn't have much spirituality. My pride was coming through. Who does he think he is? You know, some folks, ain't nobody telling me what to do. Well, that ain't the point. We're just preaching God's word. And when Nathan approached him and gave him that illustration and about the ewe lamb and all that, and he said, thou art the man, he openly rebuked him and said, you're the problem. And David, even though he wasn't in fellowship with God, I mean, he had sin in his life he hadn't dealt with, he still showed some spirituality that he received that righteous rebuke. And the evidence that he received it is that he responded with real repentance.
Yes, right.
See, a lot of folks say, well, I'll receive it, but you don't do anything about it. Well, did you receive it? When the Spirit of God pricks our heart through a sermon or someone approaching us and someone talking to us about something that's not right, and I'm like a pastor or whatever, a Sunday school teacher, how do you respond to that? How do you respond? Folks, a lot of times I've seen carnality in my own life and pride when I automatically begin to make excuse. David never did make an excuse for his sin. Now, he was ashamed of it. He had to go through some chastisement. God had to deal with him, and we won't go through that, the sword against his house. We know all that, but he received it. He received it, and he had real repentance. Psalm 51, Psalm 32, he repented. Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned and committed this in your sight. And he got it right with God. And so we may have evidence. Yeah, I have a testimony, a biblical testimony of my salvation. I'm saved. I can tell you the day I heard the gospel. I can tell you about when the Spirit of God convicted me of my sin. I can tell you about the day I gave up and turned repentance toward God, faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and got saved. I remember calling on God, and boy, him saving me and lifting me up also out of that horrible pit. But down through the years, our growth has not been, our spirituality hadn't been maintained. And folks, by the way, if you don't maintain spirituality, you'll lose it. Not salvation, but your spirituality, you'll lose that. You'll become callous and cold. You'll become offendable. The Bible said those that love his law, nothing shall offend them. Those that love his law, folks, I don't go to church not looking to be helped. Amen. I was a little confused. I don't know why I thought Brother Allen was to ask me what time we started for another brother that's going to be if I'd have known that, I probably had him preach tonight. And if he had him, I'd have wanted him to preach. If it was a plow my road, I want it plowed. Amen. Amen. I already come in here knowing I need help. Yes, nobody has to tell me, Tommy, you need help tonight. I know that. Right. I want that. Yes. Amen. Amen. Folks, I've been going to these doctors about this back issue. I don't go in there and say, hey, don't tell me nothing. Right. Don't tell me I got a problem. Pat me on the head, give me a sucker, and I pay my bill and go on about my way. That's what we want in church. Just like those good folks in the nursing home. We go to the nursing home, Miss Linda Sims, she goes, she's a member of Gateway, and she comes down there and volunteers, and she'll bring them suckers and those residents who want them. She'll say, you'll get them after church. Got to wait till after church. You know what? A lot of times I think they've been good because they know them lollipops is up there. That'd be a good incentive for me. Somebody come in and said, oh, I got a Whopper over there. If you'd be good, I ain't said a word. I'm all right. Just keep that thing hid. Don't let nobody get it. But we go to church, we don't want to be told there's something wrong with us. Well, I tell you what's wrong. I fought the devil since Sunday. I fought the flesh since Sunday. I fought the world since Sunday. Amen. And every one of those is trying to distract me, destroy me, dilute my spirituality. When I come in here, I'm not looking for nobody to help me. I'm looking for somebody to help me. I'm looking for some help from God. And he does it through his word. No, don't ever come to church and say, I don't need help today. That's an oxymoron. That don't exist. And so David here, he was concerned about his spirituality. He had real rebuke and righteous rebuke and real repentance. Folks, that's what God wants. And God used David, even though he was not a perfect man, but he dealt with his sin. Right. Amen. Folks, that's what God wants us to do. Oh, I'm tired. Folks, I know Christians aren't sinless, but we should be sinning less. Walking in the Spirit. Living for God, denying our flesh. Amen. Paul said, I die daily. Admit that in my flesh, I will realize that every day. Don't make provisions for it. You understand? But when we fall short, don't get upset when God sends us a word. That's what fathers do. Amen. They send us a word, and we need to accept that word. David did that. And I'm trying to get this message. I promise you I ain't going to preach long. I do know what time it is now. David, there's five things. I may not get any farther than this. That he approached God. He's talking to God. He's talking with the Lord. He's not talking to anybody else. He's talking with God. And the first thing he said, judge me, O Lord. Judge me, O Lord. Folks, that word judge there is simply talking about pronouncing a sentence upon someone, for or against. He said, Lord, tell me about myself. Pronounce a sentence against me or for me. Folks, honestly, would you want to ask the Lord that tonight? Lord, judge me. Tell me where I'm at. judge me. Oh, not in this day and time. That's a curse word. Taking God's name in vain ain't as bad as people judging you in the world's eyes. You know, don't judge me. Don't, folks, righteous judgment we can do. But that's, y'all understand all of that. But then in verse 2, he went from judge me to examine me. You know what he said? I want you to call it like you see it, Lord, and I want you to investigate my life. He said, examine, O Lord. Folks, these are things that David's asking God to do. Why? Because he wants to make sure it is well with him and God. His relationship with God means something to him.
Yes.
Folks, what does our relationship with God mean to us? Folks, I promise if we're not maintaining our spirituality or our daily walk with God, and boy, David mentions walk a lot in this chapter. If we're not concerned about it, if we don't pray about it, if we don't watch over it, if we don't keep it, Peter used that word keep, it means to guard, to put a fence around. If we don't do that, our spirituality is shot. It won't take but one person to cut you off in the morning for your whole spirituality to be shot. If you're not looking to keep it, you're not looking to guard it. David's asking God, point it out. I'm concerned about my spirituality. I'm concerned about where I'm at with God. Point it out to me. Point it out to me. Folks, do we ever aim at God? No, we want God to point out our brother's problem, our sister's issue. Come on. We want the Lord to show our wives where she's failing. Or our children. But we never pray that. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore shall I not slide. You're not going to slide walking with God, trusting God. And David had to come to the Lord, examine me, O Lord, and prove me and try my range. So he asked him to prove him, test me, try my heart, try my range, try every part of me. Then he goes in to several different things. I'm going to give them to you quickly. In verse 1, 3, and 11, he talked about his course. Notice he said, judge me, O Lord. Listen, for I have walked, there that word is, in mine integrity. Verse number 3. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. Here he is again. I have walked in thy truth. Verse number 11. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Multiple times, David referred to his walk. He referred to walking in truth.
Yes.
Walking is a progress.
Right.
You can't stand still and walk at the same time.
Right.
That's deep, isn't it? You cannot stand still and walk at the same time. God doesn't want us to stand still. He wants us to move. And as our daily lives go, our daily walk, our daily pursuit, our daily trips, what we do in life, he said, hey, I want all of my walk, all of my life, everything I'm doing to bring honor to God. This is simple stuff, but David was mindful of his walk. You know, folks, we sometimes, this is my opinion, I guess, but I believe it's right, and there's nothing wrong with praying for revival. Don't misunderstand that. But we pray for revival like we do nothing and God just poof. Revival don't come like that. Revival comes with a personal walk. I mean, I know God's talking to Israel at the dedication of the temple, but if my people, which are called my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from the wicked ways, then I will. See, they had to take care of their walk. They had to be mindful of their walk with God. And the Lord said, I'm not doing anything until you're mindful of your life. You're my people. You've been called by my name, but you're going to have to humble yourself. That's our problem. We won't humble ourselves. Won't pray. Won't seek his face. Won't turn from our wicked ways. Come on. So he talked about his course. Third John, the third epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 4, said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Truth. Amen. Folks, that's the prescription for revival. Draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. Amen. Folks, that has to do with our walk. You can't draw nigh to God standing still. You got to walk toward him. You got to get close to him. We do that on our knees. We do that in his word. We do that in our spiritual, our life. In our life. Our course. Folks, God has set us on a course in this life. How you know? Because Paul said, I finished my course. God set him on a course. And of course, in Romans 7, he still dealt with his flesh. He still dealt with the devil. He still dealt with the world. Folks, I know we're in the last of the last days, but pastors and churches, we're still dealing with the same stuff Paul dealt with. And he said, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. I kept the faith. But then, if you'll notice verse 4, 8, 9, 10, and 12, he talks about his company. Now, you can't keep a right course if you got bad company. And I'll run through these quickly. He said, I have not sat with vain persons. Vain persons. We know the word vain means empty. People that just have no life. People that have no desire for God. People that rather fulfill everything but the will of God in their life. David said, I ain't fooling with them people. I have not sat with vain persons. Neither will I go in with dissemblers. Folks, somebody does assembling, puts things together. A dissembler tears things up.
Right.
Picture of troublemakers.
Yes.
Right. Don't yoke with that crowd.
Right.
They come around you with a bunch of negative stuff about the pastor, about the church, about things of God. Hey, that's the crowd you don't hang around. They're not going to help you walk.
That's right.
They're not going to make you more spiritual. I like being around people that makes me want to be more spiritual.
Amen.
That's right. Folks, I'm going to be around some of you here. 5 minutes, I'm already convicted. What do you mean? I want to do better when I'm around you. Your conversation, your actions, how you live, to see God's hand on your life, it makes me want to do better. Then verse number 9, gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. Verse number 10, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. Verse number 12, my foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. So our company, who are you keeping company with? Who are you keeping company with? Be careful. Folks, it's so easy to get drawn in to the wrong people. It's easy. It's so easy. Because this flesh still craves attention, popularity, pats on the back, acceptance. Your flesh and my flesh still craves that. But if we'll feed our spiritual man and begin to crave God's approval, acceptance, that other stuff, when we get around all that negative stuff from people, all they do is want to talk negative about people, gossip about folks, tear folks down, and just dissemble things that God's doing in your life. Hey, if we'll get away from that crowd, our lives will be a lot better off. That's the crowd we need to stay away from. Don't get attracted to that. I understand the old saying, birds of a feather flock together. Don't be one of them birds of a feather. Amen. Get out of that nest. Amen. You know, it's hard when you know someone's a dissembler and you begin to see people magnetized toward them. You begin to put question marks and say, oh, Lord, are they that way? And you say, oh, I'm not that way. Then you might need to break away from that crowd. Amen. Get around people that encourages you. I mean, encourages you to live right, encourages you to stay the course, encourages you to be faithful, encourages you to love the brethren. Amen. So then in verse number 6, he talks about his consecration. He said, I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. That word compass means to march or walk around, go partly around, circle about. make a round, make a circuit, go about to surround the compass. So we understand here, David said, look, I'm hanging around God's altar. I'm staying around it. I'm staying near it. I'm keeping myself in location. I'm compassing the altar of God where there is fellowship, where there is even sacrifice, where there's help. David was very familiar with the altar of God. And folks, it takes a life of consecration. In verse number 7, we see his conversation. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. When our course, our company, and our consecration is right, we'll have something to tell.
Yes, sir.
I believe it's Brother Joe that says, you testimony or test of baloney. And I've heard a lot of testimony and test of baloney. Brother Marvin, just give us a testimony. What made it a testimony? The glory was going to God. The praise was going to the Lord. You know those folks, I made a joke the other day, those folks that when you ask them how they're doing, they tell you. And it's never good. And it's 20 minutes long. I told them about this situation in my back. I said, I feel like I'm becoming one of those people. How you doing, preacher? Well, I'm just saying now, it's the same. Just try to keep going. Nothing's changed. I'm just old and broke down. That's just how it is. But someone that stays around the altar, stays around God, it's amazing how their testimony will bless people.
That's right.
It's years ago, my father-in-law had a man in his church. And God would get to move and people get to testifying. And I've never heard the man, I've seen him get up and begin to speak, but I never heard him actually say a testimony because God is already on him in his heart. And he had a high-pitched voice. He'd say, Preacher Dim, I just want to thank God. He'd cry for 5 minutes and sit down. And you know what? How that would just stir the presence of God. Because it wouldn't show. He'd been with God. He got so full. He couldn't even say anything. He'd just weep. Boy, he was a blessing. I remember him and his wife was coming to a revival meeting and they had a wreck. And he was killed. And y'all don't believe this, don't believe this. It doesn't matter to me, but I'm not trying to be mystical. I know what God does. I know the Word of God. But he and his wife had been married for years, 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 years. And they had one of them Astro vans that was high top and went off the road and it flipped. And it killed him. And they had his funeral. This was back in the early 90s. Me and Kim was just barely married. And the day of his funeral, his wife went to his funeral. That night she's in the bed. And she said, they're calling me home too. In 5 minutes she's with the Lord. Didn't know a thing was wrong with her. They're calling me home too. That's the words.
Yes.
Poof.
Hey.
I think that's all right, don't you?
Amen.
But buddy, you're talking about a man that you can tell he encompassed the altar of God. He spent time in God's presence. And he didn't get up and say a whole lot, but the little word or two come out of his mouth, God was all in it. He didn't have to stand there for 30 minutes talking about he's coming up the rough side of the mountain, doing his best to make it in, or about what he's done or what he's not done and how he's blessed people. It just swelled up about God.
Amen.
Mm. I've heard testimonies like that make a service, and I've heard some bad ones break one. Published his name. He got around the altar. Picture of consecration. Got separated unto God. Boy, how God used him. His conversation. Then look at verse 11 and 12. I'm trying to wind her down. We see his commitment. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth. There's an ETH word, standeth in an even place. He said, I'm not backing up. I'm not going to compromise. And the congregation will I bless the Lord. So we see now commitment. He said, I have walked. Then he said in verse 1, verse 3, I have walked. Verse 4, I have not sat. Verse 5, I have hated the congregation of evildoers. And verse 8, I have loved. I mean, his commitment stayed steady. Stayed steady. You know, folks, we think, you know, if I don't accomplish some big feat for God, then I'm less of a Christian. No, just stay faithful. Folks, he said, bless me. I was listening to a preacher. I don't call his name. He's a good preacher. And most of it, I know the preachers here would know him. But I heard, I was going through YouTube driving the other day, wanting to hear some preaching. And I seen a message this brother had preached in 04. That's 20 years ago. I didn't know him then. And he's the same. His mannerism, the message where he stood, he was the same. Amen. Folks, David, what he's saying here, I've not changed.
That's right.
Too much changing going on.
Right.
Too much change. Folks, we're in a time now that pastors are afraid to call sin by its first name because somebody in the congregation may be in that. And you know what they're going to do? They're not going to receive it. Most of the time, a lot of times in this day, and I'm not talking about this church, it's every church. It's the atmosphere of the day. You're not telling me nothing. You're not preaching to me. They come in because we just go to church on Sunday. Or my spouse goes, I go with them. And they come in, and instead of weeping to the altar, they run out the back door mad and go find a pastor that won't say anything about it. They want that change. They don't want, well, that's outdated. Folks, the gospel's not outdated. The Word of God's the most up-to-date book you'll ever have in your life. It's not outdated. How many conversations have I had with folks that listen to Oliver B. Green and Harold Seitler on WTBI, and they'll preach, and then they'll say, this message was from 1968. You sit there going, that's just like he's here, like he preached at Tabernacle that day. He didn't change. He's still the same. The truth's still the same. It still works. It doesn't matter how the world changes, and they're ever changing. Man's ways and philosophies are ever changing. But God's word doesn't change. I'm the Lord God. I change not. And David said, I'm not changing. His commitment, I have. He said, I ain't changed. Folks, I don't know about you, but I don't know how much more time I have on this earth, you have on this earth. I don't know when the Lord's coming. But don't you want when the Lord comes and say, you know, Lord, we fought a good fight. We didn't change. We didn't change Bibles. We didn't change the message. We didn't change the standard. We didn't change, Lord, by the grace of God, Lord, we didn't change. David's what David's saying. And he wasn't a perfect man, but he didn't change where he stood. Because I don't want to change. Then I want to give you this finally. It's 8 o'clock. I want to stop here. We see his convictions. Commitment and conviction should go hand in hand. He told us some things he would or wouldn't do. Verse 4, he said, neither will I go in with the dissemblers. I ain't doing that. He had a conviction. I will not sit with the wicked. He had a conviction on that. I will wash my hands in innocence. He had a conviction about being clean. I will compass thine altar. He had a conviction about staying close to God. He said that I may publish and tell. He had a conviction about being a voice. Verse number 11, but as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. He had a conviction about living right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Verse number 12, will I bless the Lord? He had a conviction about giving God the glory.
Amen.
Folks, we need these commitments that lead to convictions.
Yes,
a conviction of biblical, not man-made, not Pharisaical. We ain't talking about that. And a lot of people, they'll call you a Pharisee because your standards are higher than theirs. That don't make you a Pharisee. A Pharisee, somebody said, if you don't do it like me, you're not saved. There's a lot of things I may not do like you. I try to do it according to the Word of God, but you can't say I'm not saved. But conviction is something, you know what God said, you're settled on it, and you're committed to it, you're not moving. Amen. You're not backing up. You're not going to renege on it. David was that man. Psalm 26, his integrity. He circled that altar. The priest is sacrificing. He's circling that altar. Something for God. He separated unto God, separated from and separated unto. And he walked in integrity. Church, that's still possible today. God still wants us to do that today. He's able to work it through us. We can't do it in the flesh, but he can work it through us. Don't you want that? Don't you want that kind of testimony? Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Miss Lisa's coming to the piano. Heads are bowed.